We are holding on Kufchaf Amud Beis, about a quarter of the way down. The Amud line begins at Pesach. 11 lines from the top. We said in the Mishnah, Pesach Acha Chatzos Metameh Seidayim B'cholo, that the Korban Pesach, after Chatzos, if a person touches it, their hands become Tomeh. D'rabbanan, of course, because D'araita, there's no such thing of hands becoming Tomeh without the rest of the body, but that noiser makes a person's hands tomei for reasons that we're going to discuss later in the Gemara. So, but we're going to focus first on this, that the Mishnah is saying that this takes place acha chatzos. So alma mechatzos havelay noiser. So you see, according to this, that from chatzos already the Korban Pesach is considered noiser and you're not allowed to eat it. Man tana. So the question is, which tana holds that it would be noiser at that point? That would be specifically according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who we're going to say in the Pesukim, we're going to see that he learns from Pesukim that the deadline, Minat Torah, for eating the Korban Pesach is Chatzos Laila. As opposed to Rabbi Akiva holds, in the Gemara in Brachas, which we're also going to discuss over here, that the deadline is Alois HaShachar. You're allowed to eat it until then. So, okay, maybe many Rishonim say that, fine, Rabbi Akiva would agree that there's a Gzeder Drabbanon not to eat it past Chatzos. Nevertheless, that wouldn't be on a Daraisa level, and therefore it wouldn't be Matama your hands. The Chama are not going to make a Gzeder on top of a Gzeder. Besides that, also, Tosfos over here discusses that in general, with korbanos that you can only eat by day and by night, other korbanos, that is, not necessarily would the Chachamim impose the deadline of Chatzos, because on the one hand, yeah, there is the matter of L'harcha Ka'odim in Avera, to keep a person away from doing the Avera of eating it later. On the other hand, there's a countervailing consideration. You don't want to L'avim L'beis Hapsul, you don't want to unnecessarily cause korbanos to be possible, so it could be Tosfos discusses by other korbanos at least that maybe Tosfos is discussing not so much as far as eating them, but as far as burning the fats of them, that maybe we're not even going to impose a gzeder d'rabbanan on that. And the Rashba says something similar as far as the Korban Pesach, that according to Rabbi Akiva, Even if he holds that you're allowed to eat it until Alois HaShachar, he might not even hold that there's an Issur D'Rabbanan to eat it past Chatzos. In any case, if our Mishnah is telling us that not only you can't eat it past Chatzos, but it even makes a person's hands tamei, which means that it's also D'Araisa to eat it after Chatzos, that could only be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So, D'Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, V'ochlo es habasa b'alayla hazeh, they should eat the meat on this night. So what do we mean on this night? How much of the night can you eat it? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, we have a Gzeira Shava. Nema kan balayla hazeh, v'nema lahalan v'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim balayla hazeh. It says that Hashem says, I'll pass through Eretz Mitzrayim on this night, and I'll kill all the Egyptian b'chorim. So, we have a Gzeira Shava. Malahalan ad chatzos, afkan ad chatzos. There, that took place at chatzos. Therefore, we learn from that from balayla hazeh, that also eating the Korban Pesach. The deadline is Chatzos. Now, the Rashbam points out, now you have the Pesukim say, Lo se sirim imenu ad boiko, don't leave any of it over for the morning. So wouldn't that mean that you can eat it all night? So the Rashbam explains, based on a Gemara and Brachos, that no, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that the morning would be the time to burn it. Now, in principle, not really on the morning of the 15th, because that's Yom Tov, and you can't burn Kodshim on Yom Tov, but morning, in other words, is when the din of having to burn it starts being in effect. And that you'd be Mekayim in the mitzvah of burning it if it was burnt at that point, not before that. But he's saying, as we're saying in our Gemara over here, that after midnight, you're not allowed to eat it. So the Rashbam is one of the Rishonim who holds that Rabbi Akiva would hold it's also Drabbanan, Lahaucha Kazadam in Avera, but nevertheless we wouldn't say to the extent that's going to be Matame his hands if he does. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says, how can you say the Korban Pesach is eaten only until Chatzos? The Pasuk also says that you should eat the Korban Pesach b'chipozoin, which means in haste, and it means, in other words, that on that night in Mitzrayim, they had to eat it quickly because they're going to be going out of Mitzrayim very soon, but also We learn from that word chipozen, ad shas chipozen, that they're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach until the time when they were in a hurry to leave, which is alois hashachar. They couldn't leave before that because va'atam loisetsu ishu pesach besoy ad boker. Nobody was allowed to leave their houses until the morning. So necessarily the earliest in practice, they left later in the day. But the earliest they could have left is alois hashachar. So therefore that's considered up until that. So only then is considered shas chipozen, the time of hastening to leave Mitzrayim. And therefore Rabbi Akiva says only from that only at that point does the deadline come. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, now the Gemara explains again in that same Gemara in Brachas, explains that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would answer that the word chipozen actually means the chipozen of the Mitzrayim. That at Chatzos, right after Machas Bechoros, Pare is Pare in pajamas in the middle of the night, as the kids sing, and he's running around looking for Moshe and Aaron and telling them, get out of here as fast as possible. And the Mitzrayim, Ki Omru, Vatechzak Mitzrayim, Alam, Lamayo, Lashachim, and Oretz, the Mitzrayim are pressuring them to get out as soon as possible because they figured we're all going to die. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, the Chipozin we're talking about is the Chipozin of the Mitzrayim. So in answer to that, Moshe tells Pare that no, we're not sneaking out in the middle of the night. We're going out in the daytime in full view of everybody. But nevertheless, that time, the middle of the night, there was chipozin already, namely the chipozin, the haste of the Mitzrayim to get them out. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that can still fit with the word b'chipozin. And we can still say that it's Zera Shava of Balayla Hazet teaches us the same thing, that it's only until Chatzos. So Rabbi Akiva continued, but going back to Rabbi Akiva who holds the chipozen means ad shas chipozen, means until the time when the Jewish people were hastening to leave Mitzrayim, which is the morning. Im kein matam lema balayla. So Rabbi Akiva says, then what am I doing with the word balayla, which you, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, are using for your gzeirah shavah about chatzos? So he says, it's like this. Yocho yehe necho kekodshim bayoyim. If it weren't for that word balayla, you would think, listen, when you shecht any other korban, you shecht it during the day and you sprinkle the blood during the day, and then you can start eating it right there on the spot. You don't have to wait for that night to start eating it. So you would think maybe the korban Pesach is the same thing. Maybe you shecht it and do all the avoda with it on Erev Pesach, and now you can eat it right there on the spot. You don't have to wait for the night. So now, you need to be told that no, that Talmud Lema, Balayla hu necho, Ba'inanech, Ba'yem, it can only be eaten by night, not by day. So therefore, so you need the word Balayla for that, so you don't have the word Balayla available to teach you about Chatzos. Okay. So the Gemara asked for Rabbi Akiva, Hai Hazeh, my openly. Fine, what is Rabbi Akiva doing with the word Hazeh? Balayla, we're saying, he says, means that you can eat it only by night, not during the day. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had used both words, Balayla Hazeh, and used it for Gzeirah Shavah with Makas Bechoros. So what is he doing with the word Hazeh? So the answer is, Miboyle Lemuti Laila Acher. The answer is that Rabbi Akiva would say that we need that to tell us to exclude any other night. Now, why would you think you could eat it some other night? You would think like this. You would try to make a mamatzinu like this. You would say Pesach is an example of kodshim kalim. So shlomim is another example of kodshim kalim. Ma shlomim necholim l'shnei yomim v'layla echad. Now a shlomim can be eaten for 2 days and one night, meaning, for example, you bring the korban on a Tuesday, then you have the whole rest of Tuesday, and all of Tuesday night, and all of Wednesday day until Shkia to eat it. Af Pesach, so now with the korban Pesach, okay, so we're saying you can't eat it on the day that it was brought. If Erev Pesach is Tuesday, then you can't start eating it on Tuesday because we already said the word balayla means you can only eat it Tuesday night by the Seder. But you would say, oikim leilos b'mkoyim yomim. What you would do is flip it around, put nights instead of days, v'yehenechol l'shnei leilos v'yehmechod. Then the result would be that you could eat it for 2 nights and 1 day. Now, what does that mean? We just said you can't eat it by day. So the Rashbam brings from Rashi, the Rashbam brings from Rashi in Brachas that says Rabbi Akiva would say like this: if it weren't for the word Hazeh, you would say you could eat it on the night going into the 15th, which is the first night of Pesach. Then when it would come Alois HaShachar, you'd have to stop. But it doesn't become noiser then. You can't eat it any time during the daytime of the 15th. But finally, it would come the nighttime going into the 16th, and then you could eat it again because that would be your second night, just like by a shlomim, you have a second day. The Rashbam himself disagrees with that and says that no, we're saying Balayla Hazeh would exclude, we're saying Balayla excludes Erev Pesach, but it wouldn't necessarily exclude the first day of Pesach. So so then we would argue, if it weren't for the word Hazeh, that you should be able to eat the Korban Pesach the night and the day and the night. So the night of going into the 15th and the day of the 15th and the night going into the 16th. So if you would think to do that, that it would be similar to a Shlomim. Kosev Rachmana Hazeh, therefore Rabbi Akiva says, that's why the Pasuk says the word Hazeh to tell us that not. So we don't have the word Halayla, Balayla, or Hazeh to teach us anything about Chatzos, says Rabbi Akiva. Balayla teaches us that you can't start eating it on Erev Pesach, and Hazeh teaches us that you can't eat it any time after the first night of Pesach. But nothing about Chatzos versus not. Vira Belozer ben Azalia. Okay, so what does Rabbi Belozer ben Azalia answer to that? He'll say, Amalach, he'll answer, Yumilois Hasidu Ad Boker Nafkaha. That you learn from, this that you can't eat it past the first night, you learn it from the fact that the Pasuk says, don't leave any of it over for the morning. So that means exactly what it sounds like. So you can't eat it past the first night, because in the morning, you're not allowed to leave any of it over for the morning. So that's that. You don't have another night to eat it. Rabbi Akiva Amalach, Rabbi Akiva can answer you, Eloi Kosev Rachmana Hazeh, fine, but if the Torah hadn't written the word Hazeh, then have Amina my Boker Shem. Then you would say, you would think that the word Boker over here doesn't mean the first morning of Pesach, it means the second morning of Pesach, namely the 16th. Which actually, I mean, the fact is, we do use that when we talk about burning Kodshim, and we say you can't burn them on Yom Tov, and that we learn from the word Boker. In fact, because the Pasuk repeats it, the Pasuk actually repeats it. It says, Vois Hasirim Menu Ad Boker, V'Hanosim Menu Ad Boker Ba'osh Tisroif. So therefore, so you would have thought to begin with that the word Boker already means the 16th. Tosfos points that out, that we have that Derosha, but we have other Tanoim that learn it. We have other Tanoim that learn this, that you can't burn Kodshim on Yom Tov from a different Pasuk. So they would say that the word Boker automatically means Boker Sheni, the second morning. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva argues the same thing. The word Hazeh is needed because otherwise we would have thought that you could eat it continuously throughout the whole time from Pesach night all the way until the morning of the 16th. So therefore, the word Hazeh teaches us that not. You can't learn that from the word Boker. Rabbi Lozer, Omalach, where's Rabbi Lozer, is going to answer you. That's not it. Kol Echad, Boker Rishon. No, whenever it says Boker in the Pasuk, it always means the first morning. Unless if you have an extra word Boker in the Pasuk, then it can mean the second one. But ordinarily, the word Boker automatically means the next morning. Not the morning after the next morning. So therefore, he says you don't need the word Hazeh for that. So therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, even if you're going to argue that the word Balayla is needed to teach us that you can only eat the Korban Pesach by night, but the word Hazeh is definitely extra, that we can use for the Gzeira Shava with Makas Bechoros, and therefore say that you can't eat it past Chatzos. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is saying you have to have the word Hazeh, the word Boker by itself would not be enough to teach us that you can't eat it past the morning, therefore the words Balayla and Hazeh are necessary, therefore you don't have anything available to teach us about Chatzos, and therefore it's like any other korbanos that can be eaten by night, where you have the entire night.
Who says that Laila means Ad Chatzos? Laila goes beyond Chatzos.
Is arguing. It's not just because it says Balayla. He's learning a Zeta Shava from Makas Bechoris, which took place at Chatzos. That's exactly the point. Whereas Rabbi Akiva is arguing on that Zeta Shava and saying that, no, those words Balayla and Hazeh are needed for something else. Therefore, we don't have them available for Zeta Shava. Therefore, you don't have a deadline of Chatzos. It's like any other Balayla Hazeh, which means until Alois HaShacha.
No, but where does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah take it that it's Ad Chatzos? It's not from Laila. It's from what?
It's from the Gzeira Shava. That's what we said. You have a Gzeira Shava by Laila Hazeh, which is talking about Makas Bechoris. So Makas Bechoris took place at Chatzos. Therefore, by the same token, here you can eat until Chatzos.
It's in the same Pasuk?
No, but that's what a Gzeira Shava is. It's, of course, different Pasukim.
Mm-hmm.
So Tosfos discusses the question, Tosfos and a lot of other Rishonim discuss the question, who is the halacha like between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva? On the one hand, We have a Stam Mishnah over here, like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. We have another Stam Mishnah like him in Ezo Makoyman. On the other hand, Tosfos points out that you have another Stam Mishnah in Masechta Megillah that says, Dovash mitzvah seba laila, kosher kol laila. Anything where the mitzvah is to do it by night is kosher all night. So Tosfos says, therefore, in fact, the next piece of Gemara over here, that we're Rava is going to say, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, such and such, then that might imply the halacha is not like him. So Tosfos, in fact, holds that the halacha in the end is like Rabbi Akiva. So you are allowed to eat the Korban Pesach all night, and we're going to talk about now, as far as how that relates, as far as eating matzah, that therefore the halacha would be that you could eat matzah, you could be yotze, the mitzvah of matzah, all night. On the other hand, a number of Rishonim, including the Rambam, learn that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Because of those Stam Mishnas here and in Zvachim, for example, and because of other reasons. So that would mean, therefore, that the deadline for the Korban Pesach really is Chatzos, and that would mean the deadline for eating matzah is also Chatzos. So that's, we're going to discuss that now, and then we're going to see what the halacha is that comes out of that. Omar Rava,
if the whole thing of eating matzah and eating the Korban Pesach was because of Makas Vachos, it just started then. So you should be eating matzah from when it, and the Korban Pesach when the mitzvah, when it started, which was at Chatzos. You should be able to eat from Chatzos and further, not before Chatzos. If the
right.
Whole thing.
So actually, I saw a reference where the Tzlach points out that question and gives answers to it, but I didn't look up what the answers were actually. It could be balabatish, you know, that we're saying that you have to eat it in preparation for Makas Bechoros, not that you're first eating it after Makas Bechoros when the Mitzrayim are running around in a panic. But I don't know, I didn't look up what his answer was. Yeah. Omar Rava. Ochol matzah bizmanazeh achachatzois l'Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, since we're saying that the deadline for eating the Korban Pesach is Chatzos, lo yotzi, so according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, lo yotzi yedechivase, then you wouldn't be yotze. Now, we talked about yesterday or the day before about the machloikas between the Rashbam and Tosfos and different other Rishonim on different sides, which matzah during the Seder is a person really yotze the mitzvah of matzah with? Is it the matzah that you eat at the beginning after motzi matzah, or is it primarily the afikoman that you eat at the end? That's going to affect the meaning of this Gemara over here. First of all, this is if we say the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And again, Tosfos is discussing and says not necessarily is it. But would that mean, in other words, that you have to have had motzi matzah no later than chatzos? Or would it mean that you have to have the afikoman no later than chatzos? So we'll get back to that in a second. So the Gemara asks Pshita, isn't that obvious that according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, you're not going to be yotze? Given the itkash lePesach, after all, since the matzah, you have a hekesh between matzah and the Korban Pesach, namely that the pasuk says matzah samarim yichlu kaPesach dami, so it should be like the Korban Pesach. And if according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can't eat the Korban Pesach after chatzos, then you can't eat matzah after chatzos and be yotze either. The Gemara says it's not so obvious. Mau detema. If it weren't for Rava telling us, you would think, ha apkik krom hekesha. After all, the pasuk removed it from the hekesh. Now, how did it remove it from the hekesh? So Rashi explains, we learned in the Gemara yesterday, that you have a pasuk that says, sheshis yomim teichol matzis uvayim ashvi, that for 6 days you have to eat matzis, and then on the seventh day is an atzeres. We said in the Gemara yesterday that actually this is an example of lo lalamed al atzva yotza, el lalamed al klau kula yotza. That it means not only the seventh day it's a reshus to eat matzah, but even during the first 6 days it's a reshus. And in and of itself, that would include the first night, only because there's a separate pasuk that says, be'erev tochlu matzahs, do we say that it ends up that there's a chiyuv to eat matzah the first night, but all the rest of the days is reshus. So now you would think, well, in that case, that means the Torah has taken matzah out of the hekesh. You have the words al matzah from Rom Yechlu, which should mean that you're obligated to eat matzah the first night. But then the Torah tells us sheshes yom teichol matzahs of ayim ashvi, which tells us that the whole thing is reshus. And only because of a separate pasuk be'erev teichlu matzahs are we saying that you have a mitzvah to eat matzah after all. So therefore, you would say it's taken out of the hekesh. So once it's taken out of a hekesh, then you would do out of the hekesh, then you would say there's no comparison. Yes, Pesach, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you could eat only until chatzos, but matzah, even according to him, you would think you could eat the whole night. Kamash Malan, therefore, Rava informs us that no, when the Pasuk restores it, when the Pasuk puts it back in and says that the first night is a chiyuv by saying, Ba'erev Terklomasis, Lagmilsa Kama Ahadre, it returns it to the first, to the original thing, meaning that after all, when we say that matzah is an obligation the first night, then it means that it has the same degree of obligation as the Korban Pesach and the same rules as the Korban Pesach, and therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the same deadline of Chatzos. Rabbeinu Hanan explains the Apke Krah Mehekesha and Ahadre Krah a little differently. The very fact that it says Ba'erev Teichlu Matzahs seems to imply that you have a separate thing about eating matzahs Ba'erev the entire night. But when the Pasuk is telling us that you have to eat matzahs, then it's telling us that it still puts it back with the same rules as the Pesach, so only until Chatzos. So you have the question, which matzah that you eat are you really yotze to the mitzvah with? You have the Rashbam learning which we had a couple of days ago, that it's really the matzah of the afikoman that a person is yotze with. So according to that, it would come out that according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you can't eat the afikoman after chatzos. On the other hand, we had Tosfos saying over there that no, the real matzah that you're being yotze with is the matzah that you eat by motzi matzah. The reason why we have an afikoman is as a zecher for the Pesach and a zecher for the chagiga that went with it. But you're not really yotze with that. So according to that, as long as you did motzi matzah by chatzos, then you'd be good. And on top of that, again, you have the question whether the halacha is in fact like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about the Korban Pesach, and that will affect the question, therefore, of whether the halacha is like him as far as matzah. So the Maisa in Shulchan Aruch says that you should try to follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. You should try to follow that and eat, and also follow the Rashbam's understanding and finish the Afikoman by Chatzos. But if you didn't, then you still eat it afterwards. We don't say the deadline has passed. Unlike if it was the Korban Pesach, you can't play around with it. Kodshim, you can't fiddle around with. But matzah is not kodshim after all. So if you didn't eat it after Chatzos, then b'di'evit you eat it after Chatzos as well. I think it does talk about in Shulchan Aruch. I think it does talk about the possibility what would happen if a person didn't even reach Motzi Matzah until Chatzos, should they be making a bracha on it? Because after all, we might say that then he's making a bracha Shein Etzricha, at least after Koyman, you're not making a bracha on. Okay, how common is it that you actually don't even get to Motzi Matzah until Chatzos? Our minag is, by the way, because only the first night is Daraisa and the second night is Darabanan, is why we have the minag that the first night we're careful to eat the afikoman by Chatzos, but the second night we're not careful about that at all, because the second night is only Darabanan, so then we can be mekel like the opinions that it only applies to the matzah of Motzi Matzah, or even that it doesn't apply at all, because the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. There are, by the way, also poskim who say that the halal that you say at the end of the Haggadah should also be finished by Chatzos. That it's not our minhag to be nizar on even the first night.
This mitzvah of eating, let's say, before Chatzos, eating the matzah, does that right. go in the same category as Karban Square Mitzvah, but the Kedei Lahachi Kesavim Naveda?
So that's what we were discussing before. According to the Rashbam, yes. Even Rabbi Akiva, who says that you could eat the Karban Pesach all night, he would agree that Dirabbanan, you have an Isser to eat it after Chatzos, Kedei Lahachi Kesavim Naveda. On the other hand, the Rashba says that no, the Rashba says that the Chachamim would make that Gzeira when it comes to other mitzvahs that have to be done, that can be done all night, that you should do them by a chatzos, for example, Krishma, but not necessarily as far as korbanos, where after all, you don't want to unnecessarily make korbanos become possible. Tosfos mentions a similar thing over here, although Tosfos is focusing not so much on the eating of the korban, but on the burning of the fats of the korban, that the chachamim are not going to make that zera when it comes to that. We said in the Mishnah, pigul v'anoyser metameh esei daim. We said that pigul and noyser make a person's hands tameh. So why? So the Gemara says, Rav Huna and Rav Chista. Rav Huna and Rav Chista argue why pigul and noyser, or not really argue, we're going to say that the two reasons they're giving are actually complementary. We learned this before. Chad oma mishum chashtei kohuna, v'chad oma mishum atzlei kohuna. One says because of the kohenim who are going to be suspect, and the other one says because of the kohenim who are lazy. So now the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara is going to explain soon that those are not arguing. Each of those reasons refers to a different thing: pigul versus noiser. Now there is an actual machloekus. So chad or kazayis for chad or kabeitza. One of them says that only that even a kazayis of it is enough to make a person's hands tomei, and the other one says that it's going to take a kabeitza to make it tomei. So now, what's the two reasons of chashdik kohuna and athlik kohuna? Chad tonia pigul, but chad tonia noiser. Those are not really arguing. Those are each one is giving a reason for one of these two things. One says that this is talking about that regarding pigul, that the reason is mishum as mishum chashdik kohuna, mandatonia pigul mishum chashdik kohuna. So he would say, so he's saying that when it comes to pigul, the reason why. The reason why pigul midrabanan makes your hands tomei is because of kohenim who are suspect. Namely, the chachamim suspect and the chachamim are concerned, say Rashi and the Rashbam, that the kohenim might make the korban pigul deliberately in order to make the owner lose out. And then when the owner calls them on it, then they're going to say I did it by mistake. So therefore, now we find in a number of places in Chas that even Koyanim who were Rishoyim, even Koyanim who were careless with various other mitzvahs, Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, they were generally careful with Tum of Atara. So if we say that anybody who touches Pigul, their hands are going to become Tomei, that itself is going to forewarn the Koyan and is going to scare him off of trying to be Mefagol the animal and make it, and make the owner lose out. Rashi brings a second explanation, is that pigul over here can also mean when you shecht it shaloi l'shma. Now we know, the Gemara tells us, we learned earlier in the Masechta, it talks about it extensively in Zvachim, that most korbanos, if a person shechts them shaloi l'shma, it is still a kosher korban, but it doesn't count for the owners, for the owner's choyva. So for example, you might have a person brings a korban shlomim. Now a Pesach is one of those korbanos where if it's shechted shaloi l'shma is possible, so there's nothing to talk about. The kohenim can't eat from it anyway. But let's say, for example, in general, when we talk about pigul, not specifically of the korban Pesach, the pigul of other korbanos, then you have, let's say, a person might be bringing a shlomim. The kohen might figure, you know what, why should I bother? A shlomim, all I'm going to get out of it is a chos of a shoy. What I'll do is I'll shecht it, having in mind that it's a chatas, and then I'll be able to eat all of it, because the chatas is all eaten by the kohenim. So again, the chachamim made a gzera of tumma, and that way the kohen is not going to try to play around with that. The Rashbam says I don't really like that explanation because that's not pigul. That's loy olol bialim l'shem choyver. It's not really the same thing at all. Pigul is when you have a machshava of chutz l'zmane. Okay. Anyway, so between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, one of them said this matter of chashdei kohuna. You have kohenim that are suspect to do that kind of thing, and therefore the chachamim were gozer tuma on it. Rabbi Hananel explains differently. Mishum chashdei kohuna is if the kohen touches meat which is pigul, then the other kohenim are going to suspect that he's touching it because he's moving it from one place to another in order to eat it. So the chachamim said that's matame, and that way he won't touch it at all. Then the one who's referring primarily to Noiser says the reason is because of the lazy Koyanim, namely you don't want the Koyanim to be lazy and not eat it, and for that matter the Yisraelim to be lazy and not eat it in time, and therefore they would gozer tum on it in order to give them an incentive to eat it faster. Okay, so that part's not really a machloikas, because they're giving different reasons that refer to different things, pigul versus Noiser. But there's an actual machluk, this chadar makazayis, b'chadar makabeitza, where one of them says that the tumah exists even if there's only a kazayis of it, and the other one says only a kabeitza. So what's the reason for that machlukas? So manda amakazayis ki isurai, the one who says that it's a kazayis, the reason is because the same way as it's osur, a person is osur and is chayav koris, a person is osur to eat pigul or noisur, and he gets koris for eating a kazayis, therefore the tumah should be like that, also a kazayis. The one who says that it's only a kibetza, on the other hand, would say that we make it similar to when does food have tumas oichlin? So we've talked about a number of times before, there's a machlokas rishonim, how much food you need in one place in order to be makabel tuma. According to Rashi, in a number of places, you need also a kibetza. According to the Rambam and Tosfos, you can, any amount of food can become tameh. But you need a kabeitza to be metame. Everybody agrees you need a kabeitza to be metame other food. So therefore, so between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, one of them says, given that you need a kabetza to be metame, other food, then the Chachamim also only imposed over here this gzera of tuma only when you have a kabetza or more.
Okay.
Last Mishnah of the Masechta. The Mishnah says, now we have like this. We've learned before in the Masechta that usually together with the Korban Pesach, you bring a Chagiga Sabal, so the Chagiga that you bring on the 14th of Nisan, where the purpose of it is that you eat the meat of it, and then afterwards you eat the Korban Pesach al HaSoiva, so that you fill up on it. So now eating a korban, eating any korban is a mitzvah. Eating the korban Pesach is also a mitzvah. Therefore, you have to make a birkas hamitzvah on it. You have to make, besides that, you would say, now if you were eating them outside a meal, you would of course say shakol on them because they're meat. But besides that, also you have to make, but fine, here you already washed the matzah and ate matzah, so you don't do that. But you would have to make a bracha, you would have to make a birkas hamitzvah on them. So the Mishnah says, so you have respective brachas for them. Rashi says that the respective brachas would be al achilas shlomim for the chagigas habaaser and al achilas psochim for the korban pesach. The Rambam says somewhat similar. He also says al achilas, but he has the lashon a little bit differently. Al achilas hapesach versus al achilas hazevach. And the Rashbam, on the other hand, has lechol hapesach and Asher Kedushanim Tzoyzipzon lechol hapesach and lechol hazevach. Also, the Rashbam points out, it's not necessarily only the Chagigas Habal. So you could conceivably have other Nedarim or Nedavas that you brought on Erev Pesach. If during the year, let's say you made a Neder or a Nedava at some point that you're going to bring a Shlomim, or then you could bring it Erev Pesach. Same thing, for example, if you have a Bechor or a Maisi or whatever. So all of those are Korbanos, which you're going to be eating, and therefore you make a Bracha on them, the Birkas HaZevach, which is, again, Asher Kedushanim HaZevach, Al Achilas Shlomim, or Al Achilas HaZevach, or Lechol HaZevach, as the case may be. So the Mishnah says, Beirach Birkas HaPesach, if the person made a bracha on the Korban Pesach, potter as Shal Zevach, then with that he potters the Zevach that he's eating as well. But Beirach as Shal Zevach, like potter as Shal Pesach, Divi Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Shmuel continues. On the other hand, if you made the bracha on the Zevach, then you're not Motzi the Korban Pesach with that. So Rabbi Shmuel says it's only in one direction for reasons that we're going to discuss in the Gemara. One interesting point over here, by the way, comes up. I mean, on the face of it, aren't you eating the Zevach before the Pesach? The whole point is you're supposed to eat the Zevach and then you eat the Korban Pesach al Hasoiva. So how do you have a So how do you have a scenario where you could conceivably be making a bracha on the Pesach and patterning the Zevach, according to Rabbi Shmuel, if by that time you've already eaten the Zevach? So actually, the Urzarua points this out, and he says, you see from this that b'dievet, if you didn't make a bracha on a mitzvah beforehand, then you can do it afterwards. Because, in other words, he says the same way, for example, let's say a person took lulav or did b'dikas chametz or whatever and forgot to say the bracha before it. So the Urzarua says, you see from this case that b'dievet, you could say the bracha after it, because that would be the situation over here. He ate the chagiga, he forgot to say the birkas hamitzvahs on it. Now, later on, he's eating the korban pesach, and we still allow him to be motzi the shlomim with that. The chagiga with it. On the other hand, a number of other rishonim disagree with that, and they give different answers. One of them being that we're talking about over here, according to the Rambam in particular, it seems that the way it worked was al derech like we do with matzah, where we eat matzah by motzi matzah, and then later on we eat more of it for the afkoman, and that's what we eat al asova. It would have been similar with the korban pesach, where you eat some of it at the beginning of the meal and then some of it at the end. When we said before, that means the last time you eat in the korban pesach, you don't eat anything else after it, but you could be eating more of it earlier during the meal. So then, according to that, it's very simple. You're talking about you ate some of the pesach earlier in the meal, and then you ate the chagiga, and now at the end, you're eating more of the korban pesach, but we're talking about to begin with, you made the bracha on the pesach earlier on. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying that with that, you're patering the zevach for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says no. Neither one patters the other. Each one needs its own bracha, and therefore you can't be motzi one with the other. So the Gemara says, Kretim Saloimar, if you analyze the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, you're going to figure like this. Now, you have like this. We know that the Mishnah in Ezer Mekoyman tells us that Abchor V'Maisev HaPesach, they need Matona Achas Kenegad HaYisod. They need one application of blood of the korban above the yisoid. Now, there's two ways of doing that, though. There's shvicha and there's zricha. There's shvicha and there's zricha. There's shvicha, which is pouring it onto the yisoid, and there's zricha, which is throwing the blood against the wall of the mizbeach. And for that matter, actually, given that we're talking over here about a chagiga anyway, the blood is not done, is not just done keneged yisoid, it's done shtei matanos shtei narban on opposite corners of the mizbeach. Now, the vote would be like this. The Korban Pesach, Rabbi Shmuel learns in Zvachim that the blood of the Korban Pesach has to be poured above the base of the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shmuel would say that dashing the blood, throwing the blood against the wall of the Mizbeach, as is done with a chagiga, for example, which is a type of shlamim, is b'chlal shficha is included in pouring. In other words, he would say that even though with other korbanos you're supposed to dash it against the wall of the mizbeach, but it comes out that with other korbanos, if you did them b'shficha, if you poured them above the yisod, like the korban pesach, then b'dieved you'd be yotze, but not vice versa. But not vice versa. If you have a korban pesach, where you have to pour it, and instead you threw it, then Rabbi Shmuel would hold you not yotze. So because of that, so that affects then our Mishnah as far as the brachas. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel would say that the bracha on the korban pesach includes the zebach, because b'dieved, if you were to do the zebach in the same way as the korban pesach and pour the blood above the yisod, then you'd be yotze. So therefore, so by the same token, the bracha on the korban pesach can include the zebach. L'divrei Rabbi Akiva, lo shvicha b'chlal zricha, v'lo zricha b'chlal shvicha. On the other hand, it comes out according to Rabbi Akiva, no, neither one is in the category of the other one. Rabbi Akiva would say that no, if you took the blood of the korban pesach and threw it, then it would be possible. And if you poured the blood of the other korbanos, then it would also be possible. So by the same token, he would say over here that the bracha on one does not pater the other one. The Rashbam points out that Rabbi Yosi Aglili actually holds that the blood of the korban pesach is also thrown against the mizbeach, but all the other tanoim disagree with him and say that the pesach is different. The pesach is b'shvicha. Again, you have the three korbanos, Abchor, Amaisiv, Pesach, where you have to apply the blood to the Mizbeach, and it's Machlokes Tanoim. Is it all three of them have the same type of application, or is it two of them have Zrika, and one of them, namely the Korban Pesach, has Shvicha? Actually, the other way around, really. It's the Pasuk says, by Bechor, as Domim, Tizrik, Galam, Mizbeach. So Rabbi Yosi Aglili says it means all three of them, Bechor, and Maaser, and Pesach, you throw against the Mizbeach, whereas the other Chachamim disagree and say, no, only the Bechor do you throw, and the other two, Maaser and the Pesach, you pour. Okay. So that would explain then the machlokas of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. That depends on whether if you did the wrong kind of application, b'dieved or yoytze. According to Rabbi Shmuel, would be saying that if you took blood of a korban that was supposed to be thrown and by mistake you poured it, then b'dieved yoytze, but not the other way around. So therefore, in other words, if you did a zevach the way you did the pesach, then b'dieved yoytze. Tosfos gets into a long discussion about all the pros and cons of that. Do we in fact does Rabbi Shmuel in fact say that you'd be yotze that you'd be yotze in that way? One thing is Tosfos mentions at the end an opinion of Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen that says that the gusa that existed in Kisveyad in front of Rashi and in front of the Rashbam is that zrika b'chlal shvicha u'shvicha b'chlal zrika. In other words, that they're both equally valid. You could do one or you could do the other by all korbanos and they would be kosher. This is the Rashi and the Rashbam changed that gusa based on the Gemara and Zvach. But in the Gemara, in Tosfos over here, Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen says, never mind that, you can keep the old Gersa. It means that either one, you could do Zvika, you could do Shvicha, it doesn't matter. But, so why are we saying there's Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva? That would be, which is the Iker and which is the Tofel? We would say that the Korban Pesach is the Iker, The chagiga is the tuffel, so therefore the bracha on the ikur can pass through the tuffel, but not the other way around. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, neither one is an ikur compared to the other. They're both ikurim, therefore one can't pass through the other. So one of the Rebbe's Hadronim on Psachim in Tavshin Lamed Beis, he focused on this Mishnah and this Gemara over here. In particular, one interesting thing in that connection is the Rambam paskins that if you put them b'shvicha b'diyevid yoyitzer, which would seem to be like Rabbi Shmuel. On the other hand, he paskins like Rabbi Akiva that you can't be motzi either one with the other one's bracha. So why? So it seems to be contradictory of what the Gemara is saying over here. So the Rebbe explains over there that the idea is that the Rambam, and in fact there are earlier Mephoshim who also understand this way, that the Rambam may be holding like Reb Chaim Cohen over here. That's not so much a matter of how you can pour one, how you can apply the blood of one versus the blood of the other. It's more a matter of that whether there's an ikur or a tuffel. So the Rebbe develops that idea at some length, that Rabbi Shmuel would hold that even when you come into things that are mitzvahs, namely both the Pesach and the Zebach over here are mitzvahs, we can talk about an ikur versus a tuffel, and therefore we can say that Pesach is the ikur, the chagiga, which is only coming in order to accompany the Pesach, is a tuffel, and therefore the ikur can be motzi the tuffel, whereas Rabbi Akiva would hold, it's one thing with divrei harashus, it's one thing if you want to eat food because you feel like eating it, then you can talk about ikur and tuffel, but when you're talking about mitzvahs, which are chachmasir, ritzonish, halakarish baruch hu, then there's no ikur and tuffel. Both of them are equally ikur. Therefore, one of them can't be motzi the other. And then it ever goes on, and that sichah developed the idea that this relates to who Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva were. Rabbi Shmuel is a kohen, and therefore he looks at it, so to speak, from the point of view from the human point of view, kind of like we have a certain ownership over mitzvahs, and therefore we can talk about that a certain mitzvah is ikur and a different one is tuffel. Not obviously that a certain mitzvah is less important, chas v'shalom, but in the sense that we can talk about them in terms of the dinim of ikur and tovel. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, who's descended from Gerim, and so to speak, like he has a closer connection to Hashem, because Hashem is the father of the Gerim, so therefore he looks at it more, so to speak, from Hashem's perspective, that there's no more important than less important mitzvahs, they're all equally important, and therefore you can't have an ikur and a tovel. So again, according to Rabbi Akiva, neither one can pass to the other because, and the explanation in that sikha is because neither one is ikur and tuffel more than the other. But again, according to this explanation, it wouldn't have particularly anything to do with how the blood is applied to the mizbeach, because b'diyevet, either one, if you applied it the wrong way, according to Rabbi Chaim Cohen's explanation in Tosfos, either way b'diyevet you would be yotze.
Aren't we all descendants of Gerim? I mean,
once you consider all our various ancestry, sure, we probably have Gerim somewhere in our ancestry. But we're talking about, in other words, Rabbi Akiva's father in particular was a Ger. So he had a known traceable ancestry back to a Ger. And it means, like this, for example, you know, the rest of us, it might be, you know, our father's mother's mother's father's father, mother, etc., you know, 20 generations back was a Ger. But here it's clear that his father was a Ger, and therefore, like, he had a certain, therefore that, so therefore, like you could say, he has a certain affinity and a certain connection to Gerus more so than anybody else does, more so than regular Jews.
Where do you take it from that Gerim are closer to Hashem than non-Gerim?
So the Rebbe brings over there a letter. The Rebbe brings over there a letter that the Rambam wrote to a Ger in his times, the Rebbe Vadia Hager, and this Rebbe Vadia's local Rav was putting him down and saying he's not so important and so on and so forth. And the Rambam wrote a letter to this Rebbe Vadia to encourage him and tells him that you should know that Gerim are like children of Hashem directly, so to speak. More so than regular Jews. So, like, in other words, you could say a regular Jew, you know, their ancestor is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Their ancestor is Reuven or Shimon or Levi, etc., whichever one of the Shvatim. Whereas the Ger, so to speak, his ancestor is Hashem directly. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off Amud Beis with something that, now on the face of it, this next thing that we're going to talk about, Pidyon HaBen, doesn't seem to have anything to do with what we were talking about before, but the Rashbam explains that we have In the Mishnah, we're talking about two brachas, the bracha on the Pesach and the bracha on the Zebach. And the same way, in this story over here, we have two different brachas about, you have two different brachas, two different interdependent brachas that have to do with Pidyon HaBen. So therefore he says that's why this Gemara is over here. We'll learn the Gemara and then we'll talk about what the Rebbe says on it. So the Gemara says, Reb Simloi ikla l'Pidyon HaBen. Reb Simloi one time was there at a Pidyon HaBen. Bomine, and they asked him as follows: Pshita al pidyon aben mevor asher kedushan mitzvayt v'tana al pidyon aben avia ben mevorich. We know it's obvious that the bracha for the mitzvah of pidyon aben that Hashem gave us the mitzvah of pidyon aben, that avia ben mevorich, obviously the child's father makes that bracha because it's his mitzvah. But the question is, what about Baruch Shech Yonu Imonu V'Yonu Ismanazeh? What about the Baruch Shech Yonu for mitzvah? Koyen Mevorech or Yavia Ben Mevorech? Does the Koyen say that bracha or the child's father? The logic is, either way, Koyen Mevorech to Kamati Hanor L'Yodei, you could argue that the Koyen should make the bracha Shech Yonu, because after all, the Hanor comes to him, he's the one who gets the five Sloim, so therefore he's the one who has the Simcha and should make Shech Yonu. Oh yeah, via ben mevarach to kavod mitzvah, or maybe this child's father should be making the bracha because he's the one who's doing the mitzvah. So that was the question they asked Reb Simloi. So the Gemara says loy have biyot. Reb Simloi did not know the answer. Also shoyl ben medrash. So he went to ask by the Beis Medrash. Omrulei. So they answered him via ben mevarach shayim. The answer is that the child's father says both brachas. Behuchsa. And in fact, the halacha is via ben mevarach shayim that the child's father makes both brachas. Both the bracha on the mitzvah and the bracha and the bracha shechion. So again, so the Rashbam says that the connection of this piece over here is just because we're talking about here we have two different brachas that are said by the same person and where they're interdependent, just like you have in the Mishnah two brachas said by the same person that are interdependent, namely the Pesach and the Zebach. So first of all, actually, so before we get into the Rebbe's Sicha, the Tzlach asks on it an interesting point. He says, why did they start with the whole Pshita part? They should just be asking him, does the father say Shech Yonu or not? Why are they mentioning the whole preamble that it's obvious that the father says the Bracha Al Pidyon HaBen? And the only question is about Shech Yonu. Why that whole extra line? So the Tzlach gives a couple of explanations. One of them is, there's a machloikas between the Ramah versus the Shach and the Taz on the question, can a person do Pidyon HaBen through a shliach? Can I appoint somebody else to do Pidyon HaBen for my son? The Ramah holds no, and the Shach and the Taz hold yes. So therefore, so the Tzlach says, so the question in the Gemara may be based over here. Given that we're saying the bracha al pidyon haben, the Lashon al often means that it's something that you could delegate to somebody else to do. That's one of the rules about why sometimes we say bracha al such and such, and sometimes we say le such and such. One distinction, according to some Rishonim, is whether you can do it through a shliach. So then, in that case, so given, apparently, then the nusach of the bracha supports the Shach and the Taz's idea that you can do it through a shliach. So now the question is, given that, can the father be making the Shech Yonu, or would it be in that case that we would always say the Koyen makes the Shech Yonu, because necessarily you're always going to have the Koyen there, but you're not necessarily going to have the father there. And the answer was that no, the father says the bracha Shech Yonu. That's the Tzlach's first explanation. Then the second explanation he says is, there's also, you have to consider, Pidyon HaBen is one of those mitzvahs where you need the cooperation of somebody else to do it. Let's say, for example, Bris Mila, in principle, you don't. You can have, the father himself could be the Moyel and do the Mila. But Pidyon HaBen, of necessity, you need two people. You need the father and you need the Kohen. So therefore, the question was, given that, maybe the Kohen has more of a shaychus to the mitzvah, and he's the one who should be saying Shech Yonu, and they answered him that not. They said, it's obvious. So therefore, the question was, it's obvious that the father says Al Pidyon HaBen, because there's no question he has a role in the Pidyon HaBen. But the question is, does the Kohen also make a bracha, given that he has the role, and he has a role as well? And the answer is that no, only the father does. So the Rebbe shtels the Chanis in a Sicha, in another Hadron on Masechta Pesachim that the Rebbe made in Tavshin Lamed Beis. I should say Tavshin Chaf Beis, the one in Lamed Beis before that I was mentioning before, is when the Rebbe turned 70 and the Chabringen of Yud Aleph Nissen in Tavshin Lamed Beis, that was the one about the Pesach and the Zebach that we talked about before. That one is printed, that one was Muga, and is printed in the back of the fat Haggadah, the Haggadah with Lakuta Taimum and Hogim and excerpts of Sichas and all. This one about this Pidyon HaBen, but he was from Tavshin Chaf Beis, when the Rebbe turned 60, which was actually actually the Furi Rebbe Zelikson was mentioning on Shabbos here in Shul that that was actually the first time that Rebbe, that this was the first time during the Nasius that the Rebbe bring publicly on Yud Aleph Nissen. And he did a hadron over there on Masechta Pesachim, and he addressed all Gemara over here. It's pointed, it was Mugra, and it's pointed in Lakut Asichas in Chelik Yud Aleph. So the Rebbe talks about these explanations of the Tzlach, but he explains that he says they don't really get to the whole thing, because in particular, then why the expression Aviyah ben Mevarach Shtayim? Why the focus on that he says two brachas? Just say the father then says Shechyanu. So the Rebbe goes on to develop the idea. Now, no, what it is like this. You have to ask, for example, what happens if the Pidin HaBen takes place when the child is older and he's able to say the bracha himself? If we say, you have to look at it, what the chiyuv of the father to do Pidin HaBen is. It is a practical one because he does it when the kid is 30 days old and therefore the kid can't do it himself, therefore the father does it for him. Or is it that the father actually has a chiyuv of his own, an independent chiyuv of his own to do it? So now a nafkamina would be if the child is older and he's able to say the bracha himself. So they started by asking, it's obvious that the father makes the bracha, because, in other words, it is his mitzvah to do, even if the child is older. So now the question was about Shechyanu, and the answer is Aviyah ben Mevarach Shtayim, and the answer is that, in other words, that it means that that it's Shtayim, it's two brachas, both of which stem from a common thing. It's not just that it happens to be two separate brachas, it's actually two brachas that stem from a common thing, namely that the father has the chiyuv of Pidyon HaBen, and therefore, it's his mitzvah, and therefore he would be the one to say Shechyanu, not even the Kohen, even though, as we said, the Kohen does have a role to play over here. Then they never talked about it in terms of, so what's the connection with this to Masechta Pesachim? So the same way as in the Pesachim, you have Pidyon HaBen comes on the heels of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You have Yetzias Mitzrayim in Parshas Bo, and right after it, at the end of Parshas Bo, you have the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. So the same way over here, the Gemara wants to stick in something about Pidyon HaBen at the end of Masechta Pesachim, and it represents the idea, Pidyon HaBen, that the Eibishter will take us, will redeem us Jewish people from Golus. B'nei B'chori Yisrael, after all. So the question was, on a deeper level, then the question is, given that the Pidyon HaBen is being done, the Pidyon of us Jewish people is being done by Hashem himself, the question is, the Shechyanu, does that come from the level of a lakus that can be described as the father, which is L'mayla Miseder Ishtalshalos, or does it come from the level of Koyen, which is within Seder Ishtalshalos, the Koyen being Isha Chesed? And the answer was that no, that also comes, also the Shechyanu, every detail of the Geula comes from the level of Alakus, which is beyond Seder Ishtalshalos, from the level that can be described as the Father and Aviyah ben Mevarach Shtayim. Hadron Alach Avi Pesachim, Uslich Alach Masech Pesachim.